It may be artificial, but the effects of artificial intelligence can be real enough. AI will change how citizens and government interact and how government employees interact with their own agencies. Joining me in studio with one expert view, Dominic Del Molino, the Chief Technology Officer at Accenture Federal Services. Dominic, good to have you in.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
And you are fresh back from South by Southwest, that famous conference.
That's right.
There was a lot about government and its interaction through AI. Tell us what you found out there.
There was. It was very interesting to see the different points of view from a creative conference like that, where government and citizens kind of were talking about the effects of AI in society and the ways to balance that and the way AI can be used to serve citizens of all types and be much more inclusive when providing government services to people.
What's your sense of how up-to-date federal practitioners in IT need to be, and how far up-to-date are they when it comes to AI?
The field is changing so rapidly that everyone's trying to keep up to date and keep pace with what's being introduced. So we've seen several folks in government reaching out to learn more. You'll see Representative Hurd's hearings on AI on the Hill, which have been a great way to bring this to the forefront. We're also seeing industry establish partnerships like the Partnership on AI to help educate government. So I think there's a lot of activity, particularly around making sure we get AI correct.
Now, there's been a lot of scare stories and scare articles about AI and the machines taking over, and we have no more control over the machines and all of this kind of thing. And some big thinkers have warned about that. How do you separate that from the practical day-to-day uses such that we don't end up regulating something that maybe doesn't need regulation?
Yeah, the good news about that is that fear of what's so-called superintelligence, the consensus date appears to be about 2041. So we've got some time to get it right before potentially that will occur. I think what we're starting to see is ways that AI can be used to give better services to people. And there's been a lot of research on how to enable people to trust an AI when they're interacting with it. How do you make it more human? So when you talk to an AI, does it understand you? Do you feel comfortable that you're going to be given the right information at the right time? And you feel comfortable sharing your information with the AI?
Now, sometimes people interacting with an agency or with a company may encounter an expert system, but that's not really artificial intelligence. What's the leap between an expert system that seems like it's answering your questions and talking to you, but it's not really an AI, which is much further down the road?
Sure. An expert system sometimes is limited to the rules and knowledge that's been programmed into it. And so sometimes what's in that case, programmers were limited with the data they could provide and create and codify for an expert system to use. Today's AI can learn from massive amounts of data. One example I heard was an agency that's using a chatbot to interact with people questioning, getting information about their immigration status. And what they said was, we now have over 100,000 conversations of example questions people ask and how we want to answer them. And we can train the AI to give the correct answer based off of so many different examples of what's the right way to answer that question.
And could that be answered by spoken word as well as typed in response?
Yes. And matter of fact, it's delivered multiple ways, the omni-channel experience, if you will. So the response comes back in a natural sounding voice. It might come back in the language that you're interacting with. And in addition, you can get a transcript of that whole interaction. So you can say, well, when did I ask this question? What answer did I get? And can I look at it later?
So the more data that goes into the system, the more agile, I guess, the AI system becomes. But you also saw some examples at the South by Southwest where AI can be applied to small data sets and still get big results.
Yes, the great example there was this idea that if I have something like a font that's been created for a movie poster, you know, there's only a few letters that have been created. And so if I want to generate the rest of the alphabet, how do I do that? And so what we saw was this interesting evolution of AI, where there's one AI that works on the broad outlines of the font, and then the more narrow or more specialized AI to work on decorating the last bit. So I think what we're learning from is the way humans interact and work together is the way we want to teach AI. We want to say the best approach to solving a problem is multiple points of view. And so we're teaching to say, well, maybe it's not just one AI that works on a problem, but several that come to a consensus and give us the right answer.
We're speaking with Dominic Del Molino, Chief Technology Officer at Accenture Federal Services. And what about some practical military applications? We all know about the swarm drones and the autonomous weapons, but I was thinking of something more prosaic. I read a release today where an Air Force official went to a large contractor that is 10% from finishing a huge program, but they've been that 10% away for a long time now. Is there a way that somehow looking at all of the problems they've been having with this particular platform AI could get that final 10 yards done so they could start building the thing.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing in many fielded systems we work on is the thought that we have AI working alongside the human to interact and perform the process that the system's supposed to do. And so what happens is the AI watches the individuals working the process and can learn, like a ride-along, to say, how are you effectively doing that process, and can I start to automate it? Can I take care of that process for you? And so in these cases where you get to 90% done, and the last 10% sometimes is mainly because it might be difficult to understand the requirement. It's hard. Maybe the requirement isn't well-formed or it's a new area. And so an idea and a possible way of applying AI to this problem is to say, let's let the humans work the process, have the AI observe it, learn the pattern of what's the right way to perform it, and then we can have the AI go ahead and perform it for us.
And could the AI also ingest parallel problems? Someone else had an aircraft design issue, and this is what we're talking about. I won't say which plane, because that would reveal the contractor. But let's say there's a couple of them that are having problems. Could other similar problems in other domains be ingested in some cases, and that could give clues to how to fix it?
Absolutely. So one of the other things I loved about the conference was not only the civic-minded aspect and the government participation, but a lot of industry participation, a lot of great industry examples that we see from Accenture as well. The one example I really liked was the folks from Walmart who said, we use AI now when presenting SKUs to people on the website, the products of interest to them, and we take other information into context. So your example of the airplanes, another airplane manufacturer having a similar problem, different kind of airframe. In this case, what Walmart's doing is saying, hey, you're in the Northeast. There happens to be a big storm on right now. So perhaps we should be presenting you with shovels and salt. And so this other contextual data, in this case, the weather, is being added to the shopping experience to say, maybe we should present you with this solution. I think you'll see that in military as well. As new information becomes available in the military context, how do we quickly retrain the AI to make that information apply to the problem?
And on the civilian side, say you have a tax question or some other interaction with a federal agency, then that agency could ingest data from outside of its own databases, but that could have privacy and maybe legal concerns too.
Yeah, they mentioned, especially at the conference, the distinction between governments who maybe have less privacy controls and maybe more effective at training their AI because of it. I think in our society, we have a lot of respect for that information. And so there are companies evolving to deal with that. How do I anonymize data? There's a company in the UK called Privitar that's working on ways to privatize data so that we can make it more available and useful for AI.
And also the use of AI with respect to assisting people with disabilities is a big area, which you could see really in Veterans Affairs, in the Defense Department for disabled or injured soldiers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What did you see with respect to that?
Yeah, the example that I heard there was Microsoft did a project where they added some artificial intelligence to a pair of glasses. So someone who is losing their eyesight, how do they encounter and experience the world? And with AI cameras and speaking in the ear, you can actually have the AI describe the environment someone's sitting in. So someone who's losing their eyesight is now augmented with an AI assistant who can help them understand and interpret and work through the world.
And the question I always have, and I've never had it answered quite adequately, is what is it you're buying? How does a government agency, we have this requirement, we think AI, whatever that means, can help it. Who do you talk to? What do you buy to get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. There was at the conference, there was many of the talks began with what is AI and how you define it. I think what we're seeing is AI is an add-on to existing systems, existing processes. And so instead of you don't go out and buy an AI, what you do is you train an AI in a specific domain area to work on a process you're most likely already performing. And so we're seeing AI as a way to augment the human doing the work. And so in many cases, it's as I'm building a system, how do I include AI features and capabilities in that system to make it more effective for the users doing it?
And can you buy AI engines, I guess you could call them, in open source?
Yes, there's been one great aspect of AI is the amount of open source that's been done. Google has open sourced their TensorFlow AI framework that a lot of people use. Their research is generally public and available. So there is a lot of sharing going on and a lot of open source technologies that can be then refined by industry and given that little extra bit of domain-specific knowledge, which makes it really valuable for certain problems.
Just as a technology like Hadoop, say, emerged for big data, there's going to be emerging words for AI that we'll see.
Yes, there will be. And not only just the existing words, but also pre-trained models. Now, I think there's going to be a challenge with evaluating the effectiveness and the inclusiveness and applicability of a model to make sure it wasn't trained on biased data, but you'll be able to choose from many and evaluate them against each other. I like that.
Dominic Del Molino is Chief Technology Officer at Accenture Federal Services. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.